Hello and welcome to the Raisin Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Man, I love Tuesdays. Back during election time, we used to call this Super Tuesdays. In studio to have a very good friend of mine, Mr. Derek Sanders. Derek, I think I've known you since Newen was Newen itself back in the day. When we go back,
It's about, I think, more than...
20?
It's more than 20 now. It has to be.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
It has to be more than 20 now.
So you can't get on the radio with me and tell all the fancy stories, because there's some people that come on the show that people don't know, and then I don't really know that well, and right. I'm happy to have them here to learn more about the show and grow. And then there's some folks that I know that don't know me.
That's right.
Well, so you're one of those people that...
B.C.
Oh, man.
Before Christ.
Man, see. Wow. Yeah. Yes. So we're doing this whole. So I'm going to digress. We're going to turn that around a little bit. But you know, here on the Raisin Men Show, we talk and have real talk about real life. So the things we talk here, yes, it's on a Christian show, and those Christian radio station. Yes, I know we love to be on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. So shout out to, Bishop and everyone out there in Virginia. But we're trying to make sure everybody understands that this is a real talk. Show, real talk, real place, real people. And for the Black History Month, I really felt like I needed to do a focus and an emphasis on history.
That's right.
And we don't need to even make it a big deal of one culture's history over another, because we know by virtue of what we're talking about, who the guests are, because for every person, every culture, every belief, every place, every time we're alive, we're making history.
That's right.
So for the sake of this series, we're calling it History in the Making, owning our place in history. Yeah. And I wanted to really highlight some men that I knew of that were making a historical impact in people, in children, and just in the lives of men that I know of. Because I was having some struggles, and those who follow me on my Saturday show.
Right.
I was really frustrated. I was still Derek off air. I was really frustrated having this being Black History Month. And I had kind of, look at all those black and white images of these old leaders, and I'm not even sure if that picture of Frederick Douglass with the part in the middle turning aside was really Frederick Douglass.
Well, he's on that new movie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Samuel Jackson looks like him.
Just like him.
Well, supposedly, right?
But see, I wasn't even sure if that was, because we know Samuel, so we don't know him, but we know who he is. So we can say, yeah, that's Samuel Jackson. But I can't honestly say that I knew that was who that was.
Right.
So I wanted to highlight some people that I could say, yes, those are people I know.
That's right.
That some people that my kids know, people that would be influencing our kids and our kids' kids. So let's get into it.
Okay.
Tell the folks, Derek, what drives you to get up every morning? What's your why? Because you train.
Yes.
You know, you and I go back in the day doing music.
Right.
Doing drumline stuff.
That's right.
Coaching basketball. Mm-hmm. I remember you used to tell them kids, look, when you fall down, you lay out, someone hits you real hard, you got to have a reason. You can't get up just because your parents are there.
That's right.
What gets you up in the morning?
Well, a lot of people say my passion wakes me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now I do understand it. Not only passion, motivated to be a better me, a better leader, a better motivator, a better man, mm-hmm. father, husband. That's my drive now. And again, I appreciate you inviting me. It is definitely an honor because, like we mentioned, I mentioned earlier a little bit off air, this is history in the making. So I think this is going to be a great landmark as going forward for our younger men. Your young fellows out there, the Raising Men family, they're gonna have something to say. That's my father. That's my dad, and they're gonna know, because I know the Carlisle family for a long time.
Yeah.
So they're from your father to your brother to yourself, your sister, great people, and your mother. Of course, I will not leave out my favorite lady there.
Yeah.
And I really, after meeting your mother and father when we were younger, now I understood where that tapestry was woven from.
Sure.
And so I look at that and I've had elements along the way that have helped me understand and helped me have a driven attitude. And for the listeners out there, this brother Craig is one that helped me understand a drive when I was at a younger age. I think we were in our mid-20s.
What's the age now? What's the age now? What's happening?
You know, that stuff was a few years ago. Just a few years ago, right?
Right. Right, right.
So again, that was an example where the Lord put this gentleman, Craig, in my life, put you in my life. And there was some growth there. There's only a few people that are part of my life that I know God put them there. And I can count them literally on one hand.
Sure, sure.
And you were one of a very pivotal person I would call it kind of like the second quarter of my life.
Yeah.
But going back to, you know, the question at hand, I ran across something that said that we should get up about 4:30. And 4:30 was an area where you are destined to be. It shows a sign of leadership. It's quiet. You get a chance to spend some time with God, if that's what you choose to do.
Right.
If you have a vision board, you should be looking at that vision board first thing at 4:30 after you spend some time with the Lord.
Yeah.
If that's what, you know, some do, if there's this affirmations that you have for yourself, that's the time. It's quiet. Nothing's happening. The phone's not ringing. So that, in thinking about that, you'll find yourself, if you're doing these things to prepare getting your day going, pretty soon the alarm clock doesn't wake you. All of that desire will wake you. So I'm learning that's my drive, the desire to be better, motivate, align myself with being in places where sometimes people always say align yourself with great people or so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might be one of the greater ones in the room, you per se, not saying that you're putting that label on yourself, but you will start to learn that sometimes you may need to start a trend or make a pattern that's different. Then you may go along, well, this is, seems like it's starting to get dormant. Maybe I do need to align myself with others. So it goes hand in hand. So I think over time I've learned that is important to look at, and having that desire to just want to move forward.
And where do you think your desire has come from? I mean, for those who don't know your story, I mean, you come from probably a background that some people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always had that desire for more, desire for great?
I think I used to have what I thought was fear of success. And you already know that before I said that, you almost knew that I was going to say that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It hit me about 2 or 3 years ago. No, Derek, that's not what it is. You have a fear of sacrifice.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
I stopped dead in my tracks in the middle of setting up a training class for an organization that I was working for at the time. I was stopped dead in my tracks. Nobody else was in the gym. And I just stood there for a moment with a kettlebell in my hand. And the Lord, like, you bring this to me now. Mm. Here I am in my latter years of 40, and you bring this to me now.
Yeah.
But it was an eye-opener. So, wow. I just need to sacrifice some more.
Sure, sure.
Different things, you know.
When you look at that sacrifice, that's huge. Because the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice.
That's right.
So for the Lord to bring you that, even in some cases may feel like it's in contradiction of the word, but it's not.
It's not.
He asked you to lay on the altar some of the stuff that you've been reserving for yourself.
Absolutely.
Did you decide then, or did you know then what he was talking about when the Spirit was telling you to be sacrificed?
Yes, I did. It could be a sacrifice of resources. It could be a sacrifice of time. It could be sacrificing sacrificing that moment in which it may be an individual that you may not particularly care to be around.
Watch out there now.
But I know who paid it all.
Sure.
At that moment. Yeah. It said, you know, who paid it all for you, Derek? I sat in my car one day and just, I couldn't move because all those thoughts were going around and around and around. Sacrifice, we've been known as Christians to know of giving, tithing, which is a sacrifice, mm-hmm. sacrificial giving.
Sure.
Of course, I'm going to be real, and there's probably some listeners out there that, you know, they once upon a time, they used to tip God. So
with that single index finger in the air, elbow right. about 90 degrees.
That's right. They wanted to tip out to the restroom when the offering time was. but I realized that in that sacrifice, even in just a position of giving, there were times where I thought that I was like, well, I may not have this much to give. And it was slightly under my 10%.
Sure.
And it was amazing how, where I did try to go just a little bit, I was at about 9%. And there was something else that there was a need to be met within the organization or the church or whomever. There was another need to be met. Mm-hmm. Well, when I got done, I realized there was more than 10% that what I sacrificed that day.
Yeah.
So, and then from that point on, there was no question in my mind that every time God is opening a door,
yeah.
It's true, you know, pouring out, open up the windows of the storehouse. And most people, I think of it, I'm giving monetarily. That's what they're expecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a lot of times.
Sure.
But I've realized it could be discounts. It could be favors. Just favor. It could be
good health too.
Good health.
Yeah.
Which thankfully, thank God, I've been blessed with great health. And that's what I believe in sharing and sacrificing my time to help some others achieve great health.
Well, we're going to go to a break. In the topic, history in the making, owning our place in history. We're getting into that right now. And going into that, you really have to define who you are and where you are and finding out who you are as a person and where you're coming from. You listen to the Raise and Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. We'll be right back. Got a great man of God in studio, a great friend of mine, Derek Sanders. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
And we're back to the Raise Men Show. Again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Super Tuesdays in the studio right now with the Superman of God, Derek Sanders. And we're talking from the series topic today. And this series is going to go all the month of February. And we're going to be really hitting it hard about history in the making, owning our place in history. And I don't know if you really caught it in the first second, but we've really got to own that stuff, that topic, owning our place in history. Because when we really look at our lives, Derek, I don't know about you, but so often we think about people having to be known, have to be made men, to use a mafia term, right? You have to be a social media sensation or an athlete or a musician or something. Self-made or whatever, where to think that we can make some history. But when you really look at it, every day we're alive, we're making history for ourselves, whether it's good or bad, mm-hmm. you know? And so when we, before I had reached out to you about this show topic and you being a guest, had you, did you ever really think of yourself as a history maker? And have you really thought about owning your place in history?
I didn't initially think about it until maybe, I would say about 3 to 4 years ago, where I started to enlighten people in a class setting before I would train, just simply by asking them, how are you doing today, as they walk in. And then started to, the Lord opened my eyes to start to pay attention to, I guess I used the word, a level of perplexity as these people are coming in the door,
sure,
wearing their day. Sometimes it's in the evening when I would train, and then sometimes in the morning they got up and it seems like they still had heavy things that they were carrying.
Yeah.
You know, they might have laid it down beside them and then put the backpack of heaviness back on when they got up out of bed.
That's good.
Oh my God. So what I started realizing was that, okay, I'll say something to them. The Lord was leading me to say something to them. And I could tell I was in an environment where sometimes, you know, in a business environment, Christianity is almost a backseat.
Sure, sure.
So the Lord was leading me to be able to say things to them. But if you're a Christian, you knew I was saying with relation to scripture. If someone was just a person that, you know, had no relationship with God, they were like, I appreciate you telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the funny piece of it was, is that some people were walk up to me after class and say, are you a pastor? and I would smile and chuckle. And this was before I accepted a call into ministry. So I started with a piece of inspiring and motivating, where I feel that was a training ground. And then the Lord was leading me to, as I got further in being involved in the ministry in the church I was involved and belonged to, I was asked to speak a youth program. And I got to the pulpit. And the Lord said, are you going to tell them? That was a moment I would never forget. And it was, I would say, the biggest enlightening moment of my entire life. I mean, I've had some moments. But to sit right there and stand flat-footed and proclaim that I have been called, you, my brother, and you know that I was either hot or cold or lukewarm sometimes. But I realized this was a point where the accountability was going to be important.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so I realized this was going to be an area to where I have to make a difference now. God placed me here.
Sure.
To do this.
To make history.
To make history. So, and I will give credit to the late and great Dr. Johnny Carlisle. I cut his hair one time, and he came to the shop when he was still moving mobile, you know, and I had this on my heart way before, years before. I asked him, Doctor, did you run from ministry? Is it normal to run from ministry? And he said, absolutely. And I said, well, when did you know? When you accepted? And he told me about the history of him being in the Navy. It was almost time for retirement and everything. And he was telling me that you were young at the time. And he said he remembered going into the his office that he had set up. And he said it felt like God had been on him so heavily. Of course, I know a history about him being a deacon and very devoted man of God, no doubt. And he said he remembered just kind of putting his hands on the desk and threw his hands up in the air and said, "I'll do it." And he made me laugh so hard that day. Yeah. And then he said he called you as a young lad. Yeah. He said you were playing around the house. And he said, "Craig, come here." He said, "What do you think about your dad being a preacher?" And he said that you told him, "I don't know. You have to wait till mama gets home." So I thought that was the biggest thing. But that was something that I carried with me when I thought about answering the call, the conversation that he and I had.
Sure.
Also, another conversation where the first time I actually had an exhortation, and I actually showed it to him on my tablet, and he said he kind of give me a slight bit of applause, so to speak, by saying this was good preparation, he told me. So I was like, wow, you know, and I held him in high regard because, like, now the great doctor here says that this was good preparation. So again, I realized at that point, God has more for me to do. I didn't quite say history, making history at this point, but now I'm knowing as we continue to go forward, the influential areas that I'm able to be a part of, and just when to be around other men of God, pastors, even bishops, and they call my name, you know, in reference of something that God has done in their arena with me. Now, notice I did not take credit for that. Now, the old dude probably used to take credit, right? We know that, right?
Yes, sir.
But so now I absolutely everything that God is doing, history is in the making. I don't know everywhere he will take me, but I'm no longer afraid.
That's the difference. That's the difference.
I used to be afraid.
What do you think was one of your greatest fears back then?
Again, sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
And the accountability to go with it when it comes to doing everything for God. Because you know that we are hard on each other as people. If you move slightly to the left, see, I told you. You know, so I felt like that.
Sure.
And now I really realize is that I just continue to be, I'm as genuine as I can as a man of God. I'm not going to come at someone and talk to them about Christ and not act like, or act like I did not do something back in the day.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I didn't inhale. You know, I can't sit there and say that. So when I think God is using me in those scenarios and those things that now I can be just real. I'm not worried about being accountable because I am accountable for what I'm talking about, what God is leading me to do. So now because I've given in the way he wants me to, it doesn't feel like I'm not afraid anymore.
Well, see, I've seen you train in terms of on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. I've never seen you train in the gym. Now, I do follow your Mind Push on Instagram and Facebook, so I do follow that. And just so you know, it is one of the things in the morning that gets me going out of bed, even the one I saw. Now, again, this was going to air on a Tuesday, so when I saw this, it was this morning, Monday's morning's post, when people were talking about Super Bowl, and like, I know you had some drinks, you had something to eat, but you need to get up on Monday morning and go out to the
gym. That's right.
And I was having one of those moments. I was like, you know what? My shoulders hurt. I have some issues and back spasms. I don't necessarily want to go today. All right, fine. Here's your post. I'm like, oh, forget it. Let's go. So I went. I did my mile on the treadmill, and that was it. I didn't do any lifting today, but just to let you know, if you ever have those moments where you wonder, is anyone watching? Is it worthwhile? It is. So I encourage you, you know, don't stop doing it, because I'm one of the folks that are looking in the morning going, because he's going to call me and text me and ask me if I went to the gym. He ain't even my trainer. He's going to ask me if I went to the gym.
So, for what Craig is talking about is Mind Fit 18. That's MYNDFIT 18. So I threw the plug in there.
No, please. And that's one of the things we want to make sure people are doing. If you are on Instagram and Facebook, you know, please share it and share the premise for it.
Yes. And I do have a little bit of inspiration and motivation. Another page also called Mind Push, and that's MYNDPUSH 1.0. And that you'll see a lot. Oftentimes you'll see posts. Sometimes I repost from other inspirational pages. You know, my best thing is try to make sure I give them credit as well.
Sure.
One thing, what I was asking the Lord, what was I going to do in a setting where there might be non-believers?
Yeah.
How do you get me to reach some of those individuals? And I just, people kept saying, you motivate me, you motivate me, you inspire me. So I was like, well, motivational speaking was something I thought about years ago, even before accepting ministry.
Sure.
How do you do both? I asked myself, you know, and then I asked the Lord. So then all of a sudden one day, what comes up was Mind Push. And I said, okay, M-I-N-D, push, right? So I Googled the name. No, can't do that. Mind Push. So M-Y-N-D. So I sat down and I went and got, went to Lids and had a hat made. And just, I need to see it so it could come to life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, so since I spelled it this way, then the M-Y-N-D became Motivate Yourself, Never Doubt. So that's how Mind Push came about. Now, it's hard for us to motivate ourselves in some aspects.
Yeah.
So looking at that, that's why a lot of times I kind of, when you see the post on Mind Fit or Mind Push, mostly I do a little more speaking on Mind Fit. You'll notice that I'm pointing you to you.
Yeah.
Having to get you to think about your heart. Am I going to get out here and do this thing? Like you said this morning, even if you didn't lift, hey, you got moving.
Yeah.
That's important.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe if you get moving, then it kind of starts the rest of your day. The blood starts to flow. The endorphins start to release. And you get a chance to kind of wake up the rest of the body and the mindset. Then I believe that it changes your whole trajectory of how you see things.
Definitely. And I tell you what, it's a battle of wills. You know, you definitely have to push your mind. You can't doubt.
Right.
And it's all about what you want. Again, this is the Raising Men Show, Tuesdays, WKBY 10 a.m. out of Chatham, Virginia. TheRaisingMenShow.com, and you can always catch all of our archives. Great, wonderful man in the studio, great friend of mine, Derek Sanders, and we're talking about history, owning our place in history, history in the making with every breath we take, because we made history with that last breath we took. Think about it. We'll be right back right after this message.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of The Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drug through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Again, you're back. Raising Men's Show, Craig Carlisle, I'm your host. I tell you what, I know this is Black History Month, and I know those who know me know I'm not a guy that tries to, you know, rah-rah, go do anything, look what I did. But for those of you who've even listened to that commercial go by, that was a feature film that I had the blessing and the privilege to be one of the executive producers of in 2015 when it was released. It wasn't a film that just kind of came out. We sold out of the back of our trunks, even though I wish we had at certain times, right? But this film actually ran in the theaters. It's on digital markets right now. It's on Amazon. It's on Hulu. It's going to be on Netflix soon.
I can't wait.
It's a part where you need to watch it. And again, I encourage you to go out and look at it. It's on your digital markets. If you've got cable, it's on demand. You can rent it. You can buy it. I don't care because I think it'll bless you. My kids are in it. And for those who are laughing, and like I'm laughing right now, is that I actually played three different roles in the film. So if you happen
to those I remember coming to the premiere, but I might have missed that.
You see, I appeared in the film in three separate scenes three different people. I had three different wardrobes.
Right on.
So I'm not saying that I'm the Stan Lee of this film, but
the cameo appearance.
Yeah, I had cameo, and cameo. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So back to the topic. We're talking about history in the making. So I bring it up. That's history. That's historical.
That is historical.
That's something that no one can ever take away.
Tell them the name of that film again.
It's Restored Me. Thank you very much.
Restored Me. And that's right.
It's a story about a young Black man who was in the wrong place, wrong time, wrongfully accused of something, and it shows his life, his road to redemption, his road to restoration, which is what we all want, which we're all on. It's a part of our history.
That's right.
Then we have to own our place in history. And talking today with my guest, Derek Sanders, great man of God. I was supposed to send you the questions over earlier, but so those that you know, I blew that, and he got those questions shortly after he got here to the studio. But one of the questions, man, I want to ask you is, what do you want said about you? When someone introduces you at an awards banquet, what do you want said? Because most people have asked you, hey, what do you want said at your funeral? Now, that is another question, but you know, by the time you get to the funeral, it's too late.
That's right.
I want to know, what would you want said about you? Because if I could introduce you at a banquet, that means that you won an award. That means that you made some history, that you did what you're supposed to do, that the Lord is allowing you to have favor publicly. What would you want someone to say about you?
I think it doesn't have to be a lot. It depends on who would write it. But I just think influential, energetic, full of life. Motivating, pushy, yeah. You know, because yes, I can Lord. Push.
Yes, sir.
It's changed a little bit over time. Lord's shown me how to push and not to push, right?
Sure.
And just a person that has joy, you know, which of course supersedes happiness. Now, once I got to understand and know. But most of all, I think is that it's just that I think energetic would be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful in looking at where my DNA comes from, meaning like my mother and my father, the energy. And my mother's 82 and she conversation is fluent and mind clicks, like, you know, just pops right on and go from one subject to the next, like, wow. And the Lord had me to believe. I was like, okay, that's where you get that energy from. I see that's it. Good. And so I think that's what I would want people to remember or say, or, you know, say about me at an awards banquet.
I think a piece to add in there is passionate.
Yeah, there you go.
I've always known that whatever you set your mind to.
Right. That is true.
That's what you were going to do. Right, wrong, indifferent. You were going to give it everything you had. I remember those days when you used to coach the kids. You were definitely the conditioning master.
Right.
Yeah. And we used to run suicides. We used to run 17s. We were running, you know, baselines. And just those kids, we wanted fourth quarter legs because even back in those days when we were coaching the travel team, doing fundamentally sound, you know, with Shamika and Sadiq and yourself and myself, we knew we didn't have the same level of talent at every position.
Right.
And on the bench, like these other travel teams that we were playing at middle school age.
Right.
Absolutely. But we knew that they didn't have fourth quarter legs like we were going to have.
Right.
And that's what kept us in the games where we should have been blown out the gym.
That's true.
You know, we were borrowing money, you know, putting it on credit to get into the tournaments.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't want to be the first round exits.
Right, right.
And I remember there was more than one tournament. People, because, you know, I wasn't the coach on the sideline. You know, you all were. Mm-hmm. And then the guys were running the tournaments were pulling me aside. They were like, dude, this is your squad? Yeah, because I was the, you know, the person on paper that was leading
right,
the team.
Right.
He's like, where do you all come from? I said, we're just a bunch of kids and parents from, and at that time you didn't have any. Do you think your son was really young?
He was, Devontae was real small.
Real small mm-hmm. at that time. So I think everybody had kids, but Sadiq at right. that time.
Right.
And I said, we were just a bunch of people who had a love and a passion for these kids. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it started. In fact, I still know, you remember Rich Linhart when we had Mitchell for a hot second. Mm-hmm. And when we had that team with Riley for a minute,
right.
Shane, Shondell, we had Mitchell.
What was the coach's son for a little bit? That coached Chaparral.
Oh, Coyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Eddie Coyle for a second. Mm-hmm. We had, that was probably one of our most talented teams. And folks didn't want to see us come in the gym because we were beating people that we were like, where in the world did you guys come from? And, you know, but, and I say all that to say that I still remember Rich telling me, so you need to cut back on some of the lines and put the ball in these kids' hands more. And I
remember that day, I think.
Yeah, because we were practicing outside back then.
Yeah.
And I only say all that to say this, that when anybody tells you in your life that you can't do something, that's one thing I know about you, Derek, that's the one thing you go to prove them wrong.
Yeah, I think that came from the little guy walking on the basketball court wanting to be picked up back in the day, growing up in the neighborhood, standing on the sidelines, hoping and raising your hand like, hey, I'm next. You're next. Yeah. Can I play? Can I play? Can I play? I was that guy.
Well, I tell you what, anybody that ever slept on you, I felt for it. Because those, you know, when you see the social media posts come up, this man, you'd swear I'm interviewing Ron Harper. You know,
everybody says that for years, for years.
But I tell you what, your jumper was like Ron's. It was sweet.
Kinda,
it was one of them, but you could shoot the ball from anywhere in the gym. You get control of the ball with both hands.
I still had those knees, though. Dude, those knees don't act like that anymore.
Sir. No, sir. But, you know, but I guess it's really how we lived life,
right?
You didn't give up. You pushed. Even with having the slower down knees because it can't jump as high, can't explode. But you didn't stop being explosive. You know what I'm saying? You were always the consummate teacher.
Right, right.
Your leadership style. I see you as a vocal leader.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I see you leading by example. How do you lead in the home? Because you're teaching your son, same. Do you lead inside the house with the wife as well? How do you do both in making the history in your home?
One thing, and as you mentioned it, I've always been vocal. I think that was a characteristic and a trait as being the guy that was overlooked growing up. And, and God showed me that, like, hey, so growing from that little guy into an older guy, somewhere in between, I felt like I had to be pronounced. I had to be loud. I got to let you know I'm on the scene.
Well, you're from the ATL, so nobody's missing you too much. I remember you used to come down the street with that pickup truck of yours. Yes. Thumping down.
And then the Mustang, right?
Dude.
I still might like my music loud for a little while. Just a short period of time, because, you know, the ears don't, I don't want to save my ears. I got it.
Well, when you pulled up at the studio just now, I was like, I saw this car, it was quiet. I was like,
right.
I wasn't sure that was who you. I was like, I'm not sure if I should duck back in, get behind a dumpster.
Right. But being in a home with my wife, I've learned to the Lord, listening to the Lord to say, I got it. Mm-hmm. Learning to, if it's not agreed upon, learning to tip on over to the man cave and sit there. And even though I thought I was going to turn on the television, I'm holding a remote in my hand and I'm just sitting there looking at the screen, but the Lord is really on the screen, so to speak.
That's good.
And hey, Derek, I got it.
Yeah.
And he gave me examples through some difficult times sometimes, oftentimes. And he showed me, like, didn't I say that I've got it? So now I've really learned to release. And by example, just turning it down a bit. So, not just, you know, not being so vocal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I said, okay, I see. And as a man of God, and for some men out there, they think they have to roar that they are the man.
Yeah.
I'm learning that, no, I just need to treat that woman as her queen,
yeah,
as she's that queen, and she knows that I'm the man.
Sure.
And a lot of the decisions are made in, you know, jointly when I'm turning down a bit. When I'm turning up a bit, that joint decision may not work out too well. Don't tell my wife I said that. She probably gonna listen. Anyway,
she gonna listen to this one. Shout out to wifey.
Yeah, Danielle. She sends her love as well.
Oh, nice.
So, so again, but then just leading in the home, learning how to lead, listening to others. You know, watching people that were married before me, even such as yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, even in your years. Watching your father,
yeah.
Watching
yeah.
my uncle James D. Baker, may the Lord bless his soul. He's gone on home now, but just those different people, seeing how they handled scenarios.
Yeah.
When I really sat back and just was looking for some wisdom, where I may not have been able to pick up the phone and talk to someone openly. Sometimes different flashes of different people, such as yourself, like your father, my uncle, they would pop up in my mind.
Well, I appreciate it. When you're talking about history in the making, owning our place in history, we got to do that.
That's right.
We don't have any choice but to do, because history, as you know, Derek, I mean, you're making history whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
Either you're going to make it and you're going to be that footnote as to what not to do, or you're going to be that part on the top of the headline. You know what? This is what you should have done, what you should do to make it work, to make it right. It doesn't mean that you have to be the face in the paper.
That's right.
But you got to make an impact to those who's going to be the faces in the paper. Again, you're listening to the Raising Men Show. We'll be right back, and we're going to go into our last segment.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Again, you're back to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And this is our last segment, History in the Making, last segment of the first installment of the series, History in the Making, Owning Our Place in History. Black History Month, Derek, and for us, it every day is historical. Again, it doesn't have to be any particular culture's month.
That's right.
Or day. History didn't stop for African Americans just because it's not February.
That's right.
You know, history didn't stop for any culture because it went from midnight to one. We're still making history for our kids, for ourselves. And if we're not making it, someone else is going to make it for us.
That's right.
Tell me, before we went to break, you had a thought that we didn't pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
Share with that, and we got to keep it moving.
Okay. When looking at now, you bring this to the forefront about history in the making. 2 years ago, my wife and I had a pleasure. I had never been to Hawaii. One of our sons was in the military. He was on his way out that following April. So our vow was to get a chance to get over and see him before he got out. So he could show us around the island because he knew where everything was. He had been there for almost 3 years. So that was awesome. So we went to breakfast and we get back on the elevator, going back into the hotel, get on the elevator, go up to our floor. And as the elevator is moving, I remember my wife standing to the rear, slightly to the rear, to the right of me, because after I hit the buttons. To my left ear, it seemed like I hear, I hear, do you know who you are?
That's good.
And I I looked over and I'm thinking, she's not standing over here. I look over and, you know, I knew that was the Lord.
Sure.
And I get off the elevator and I'm walking with this pace. You know, an older gentleman once told me, he said, walk like you're going somewhere and do something when you get there.
That's right? Good.
And so I'm walking with this pace and I happen to look back. Oh, I'm leaving my wife, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I'm sorry, you know. And so I wait for her. And to answer that question that I heard on the elevator, I opened my mouth and said, I am a speaker. Inspirationally, motivatingly, however I need to do it, this is what I'm gifted to do.
Sure.
I am going to, I told me and my wife, I said, look, our feet will touch the sands of many lands whenever we get there. However we need get there, the plane is going to take us. It's going to be paid for. If we, if there's somebody that wants us to speak, hey, it's going to be paid for. If it's a limo ride, it needs to be. It's going to be paid for. So I had to profess who I am.
Sure.
I finally opened my mouth, no longer being afraid.
Yeah, that's good.
So that right there to me is that wherever God takes me from there, to, from that point.
Sure.
Of January 2017, it was. Wherever he was going to take me from that point on, I thought, this is what it has to be.
Yeah.
And then moving into 2018, that's why I called it Mind Fit 18, because it came about in 18. Mind Push came along in 2017. I call it the first phase. That's why I put the 1.0 on it. But that was, I was like, now that you mentioned it, that's where I believe history will become history in the making. If I'm a part of it, I know God ordained it.
Oh, yeah. If you could go back to pre-2018, if you could go way back to a particular point in your life to tell your younger self one thing in preparation for Mind Fit and Mind Push 2018, where would you go to tell yourself? And then what would you say?
I would probably say to my younger self, and like if you look at two images, you know, the older gentleman saying to the younger guy, hey, calm down for a second.
Yeah.
Come over here. Let me talk to you.
Yeah.
Sit down for a moment.
Yeah.
And one thing that it's funny that you say that, because another friend of mine, a good friend of mine, we had this thing about Psalm 46:10.
Mm.
Be still.
Yeah, and know.
And you know,
yeah.
Mr. Carlisle, you know that I didn't know how to be still. So that's that piece right there.
Yeah.
My older self will tell the younger self, please, hey, sit down, be still, and hear what God has for you. If you'll just take some time to do that, and probably the older self will do just like the younger self. You know me, I'll tell you, I dare you to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the older self will still dare you.
Sure.
Sure. In a nicer way, though.
Sure.
You
sure.
know what I'm saying?
I remember those days when you had a little trouble keeping still, we would leave studio in San Diego. So those who don't know, back in the day, we used to be active parts of Mandate Records.
Right.
And we would leave the studio when it was in my parents' home initially, and we would go to the club.
Yeah, man.
And then we would go to church.
Sure did. Club stamp on the back of the hand.
Club stamp on the back of the hand. And in some places, we were still wearing the club gear. And
if people, just put on a tie.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes we didn't. But it's funny, I don't know if I ever told you this, but people used to ask me, why you don't go to the club? I know you don't go. You know Derek's the party guy. You know you ain't the party guy.
They knew me.
But at the time, at the same time, I was like, you know what? I go because he's going.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you just need, you got to be all things to all people. And I didn't want him out there running around by himself, acting crazy. Because most of the time I would be driving.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I was a designated. I wasn't drinking.
Right.
You know, and so it was like, as long as he got home safe, I would rather have him be with someone that can watch over him.
That's right.
And watch out for him. Then worry about condemning him for, oh, man, you went to the club.
I knew. That's why I say God sent.
Yeah.
God sent. You were at a pivotal place in my life.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, of course, you're just hearing from me. But Craig was there at, I call it the second quarter of my life. You know, I had someone in the earlier quarter. My friend Dwayne, he's still around.
Yeah,
we still associate. He lives in Denver.
Yeah.
So and you, like you said, we don't talk all the time, yeah. but we're still there. So those sure. two pivotal people. And I have someone in the third quarter, a friend of mine named Bruce. He yeah. used to work at Abbott, call him Batman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah. yeah, yeah. So he and I still talk, you know. So I really realized, I looked at God was still watching over me through you being there
sure.
at the time. And then when you stopped, I'd never forget the night that you said, no, you go ahead and take my car. I'm not going. I will never forget that.
Really?
You had that blue Celica.
Yes, sir.
I would never forget that. And I was like, why? I was like, you know, and I remember the look on your face and you were looking at the computer. And I think we had just finished doing some recording.
Yep.
And I think you were trying to do a partial mix down or something. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten dressed in everything. Well, I was getting ready to go get dressed. And you, just the look on your face, you was like, oh, I just kind of don't feel like going. And I remember leaving that night and I kind of just didn't even have a good time because my road dog was with me. It left me hanging, you know. But I realized that was a point when God was showing me through you, come on, man, it's time to come on in. Time to come on in a little bit.
Yeah.
And it still took me a while to completely understand that's not a void. That's sure. the void I'm chasing. I'm sure. chasing that and using that as the void.
Sure.
And when God is really what I needed to fill that void. Sure. So.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Those are good days. We used to have a comeback with ministry ears, as we would call them.
That's right. Ears ringing all the way through church.
Yeah. And so don't get it twisted, those who are listening. It wasn't, we were saying it was ministry ears because it was ears
the
ringing.
The place was called the ministry.
Yes, it was. And their sound system was so loud. And I just remember sitting there, hear the high-pitched.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah. I stew. Yeah.
Painful.
Very, very, very painful. So for 2019 and beyond, Derek, what's the plan? What has God got you in this segment of your life? Because I know this is, I think this is a big 5-0 for both of us this year.
Oh, man. We're coming up on, I'm not ashamed to say, 50 years of age.
I said 5-0. I said 5-0. I ain't talking about the police or the TV show.
Yeah, I know, right? So, but no, coming into looking at 2019 and beyond, Mind Push 1.0, which is, like I say, I call it empowerment, motivation, inspiration, what have you. I think going forward, we really want to get out there and have different stages of speaking. Podcasting is one, of course. Live stage speaking, I think I enjoy it. Yeah. I love the energy from the people.
Yeah.
Of course, I've never been afraid of too much of anything. I'm really not afraid of people now.
Sure.
So I got put on the spot at a Get Motivated seminar I went to one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a trip. But I ended up dancing, of all things.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah, yeah. They picked someone. They picked someone to the most hype person in the room.
Yeah.
So they started with both sides of the room. And it went on from there. So then they picked the hype person of each side of the room. I happened to be one of these people with a suit on.
Imagine
right?
That.
Imagine that, right?
Mm.
But the enlightenment part of that was when I got on that stage, I didn't feel like I wasn't supposed to be there.
Got it.
So that's what really lit my mind for the Mind Push and being able to thinking that I could stand flat footed and move around and talk to people and enlighten and empower, you know.
For those who don't know, those, you know, as you learn about Derek Morris, we're going to continue to repost some of his stuff from social media, is that he used to be quite a dancer. He used to have the footloose and fancy free feet. So, you know, so it was not coincidental that you would be on stage dancing. Now, make sure, give the Mind Push and Mind Fit
calls.
And also remind people how they can connect with you as a part of
okay.
that.
Okay. We're on Instagram currently. Mind Push 1.0. I found that social medium it's pretty easy to connect with people quite a bit.
Make sure you spell it for full.
MYNDPUSH 1.0. So of course one word, MYNDPUSH 1.0. And that will be, I put motivational post things. Sometimes I put a small snippet that I might give you there, but then we also have Mind Fit 18, MYNDFIT 18. that's where if you know you want to connect me with me there, you want to go get on the motivational part about your working out, because I believe your spirit, your soul, and your body have to need to all work together. So we are looking at online coaching at some point, not there just yet, but if you want to connect, please hit me up, MindFit18, MyndFit18 at Instagram, and also MindPush 1.0 at Instagram.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show, man. We've been talking about this for a while, and I know you've got your blog coming up soon, and I want to definitely be, whatever I can do to help foster that blog and your podcast, I'd love to be able to do it, because we're getting ready to do some changes to our site and bringing things up. So it's going to be a lot of changes coming up in 2019 for, you know, Raising Men and the Raising Men philosophy and the organization itself. So, hey, I don't like to keep stuff in a vacuum. And if I know some folks that, you know, kind of
really appreciate the invite, man. I really do. I enjoyed this today. I really did.
Well, I appreciate it.
Glad hope to do it again, too.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Oh, no doubt. And again, if you're listening to the Raising Men show, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat for Black History Month. The history and making it itself is a cleaning throat on the radio. But yes, we're talking about, we're doing this series. We're going to be doing it at least for the next three consecutive Tuesdays, talking about history in the making, owning our place in history. Again, that's a bold statement that I need to own my place in history. And we're going to be talking and highlighting historical impact of men that I respect. And I'm sure there's a lot more that I can have across 4 weeks, but it's just going to be a snippet. But remember that if we don't try to do more and you can't do better, then you can't. If you know better, you do better. But just say it like
that's
that.
That's right.
So anyway, we'll
I
see you all.
Like I heard that before.
Oh,
somewhere.
Dude. Yeah, no doubt. Huh? We'll see you all next week.
It's been a long time.
Preach up. You got it.
I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.